Aren't you thankful that for that living hope this morning? I pray that that's been your hope through this whole quarantine, through this whole shutdown pandemic and everything that's been going on. He is our hope. He's our living hope. It's not just a hope in a dead guy that lived and died years ago. It's our living God. And our hope is in him. He has, the death lost its grip on him. And because of that, we have life. Amen? Not only in life, eternal life, but life in this life. Eternal life, abundant life. This is what God came to do for us. And man, it is good to be with you this morning. Amen? Man, it is so great to see your smiling faces. And to see, and I know Mindy's out here. There's Mindy. Now, Mindy, don't give me any dirty looks because the lights, I can't hardly see anyway. So I just want to let you know. So just save the dirty looks. Now, it is great to see all of you and to be together like this again this morning. We are so thankful for this. It's been 14 weeks since we've been able to be under the same roof, gathered like this, worshiping. I never thought 14 weeks would feel so long, and it's great to be like this. It's great to be with you. It's been great to be able to worship with you this morning, and we're just so excited about this opportunity. Thank you for being here this morning. If you're joining us online, thank you for joining us online, and if you don't feel comfortable coming in person, that's quite okay. That's all right. But for those that are gathered here this morning, we're so happy to have you and see you. And thank you. Yeah. And thanks for just putting up with some changes. Obviously, looking around, there's some changes, right? And coming in and getting your temperature taken. Just thank you for just dealing with that and rolling with that. We really appreciate that. As the church board and church leadership, we have been praying for God's direction and leadership in all this, and we want to do what's just best for all of us. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we're going to talk about that more later. But, we want to do what's best. We want everyone to be safe and feel safe and everything. But this is the best that we can do right now, and I am so thankful that we're able to do this. Amen? And it's so great to see you guys. So just a couple quick notes. If you really want to follow along and know where we're at in the service, there's QR codes hanging on the door. That's that big, scribbly-looking thing that doesn't make any sense. You can scan that with your phone, and it has the order of service. We have e-bulletins right now, and so that'll take you to that. But at the end of the service, another thing that's going to be a little different, we're going to have ushers come and dismiss you, kind of like when you're at a wedding, and do that. And then the offering plates will be at the back doors. We'll have ushers with offering plates back there, and that will be your chance to give. But so just some changes, but we'll roll with it, right? Because we're just happy to be together. That's how I feel. I hope that's how you feel as well. But at this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, it is so good to be in your house. We're just so encouraged today to be able to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ and to worship out loud and just to really be able to be together. Father God, thank you for that. Thank you for the fact that you are a living hope and that you've been with us over these last 14 weeks. And Lord, I know there's other churches that aren't opening. They're still doing. Lord, I pray you be with them. Give them wisdom and guidance as well. Lord, we just really want what's best. That's truly our heart's desire. And Father God, we pray that you would just be with us this morning, that you'd watch over and protect us, that you would be honored and that you'd be blessed by what we have to do and say here today, that it would bring glory and honor to you, Father, is my prayer. And Lord God, I just pray that you would be with us. Lord, we think of our country right now, and we just ask that you would be with us and really just bring a sense of unity, Father God. It breaks our heart to see our country in the turmoil that it's in. And Lord, we think of our brothers and sisters, Lord God, who suffered in injustice and inequality. Lord, we lift up them and we ask that you would be with them, Father God. We pray for unity and equality. And Lord, we pray, Father God, for our country. We pray, Father God, that you would just help us to seek your face, Father. Lord, if we follow you and we seek you, Lord God, that's going to help us all along the way, how we see our neighbor and how we love our neighbor, how we treat our neighbor. So, Father God, I pray that you would help us just to be obedient and walking with you and the way we love and serve one another. Lord, I pray for this Father's Day. I pray for all of those of us who are fathers, Lord God, that you would help us to understand and take serious the responsibility that we have to lead our families, to lead our children to you, to demonstrate your love and your grace. Father God, there's days when that's really easy and there's days when that's hard. Father, help us to be the fathers that you've created us to be, to follow your example. You are a good, good Father. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. Lord, I pray for the lost this morning, those who do not have a relationship with you. I pray that you would lead them into our lives, that we would have opportunities to speak truth and love into their lives, Father God. Not condemnation, not guilt, but truth and love. Lord, I pray that you would help us to really be able to see people the way that you do and to love them the way that you do. And as we have those opportunities, Father, help us to take full advantage of those. Lord, I pray that many would come to know you as Savior, Father God, in these days. Lord, our world needs it, our country needs it, we need it. So, Father God, I pray that you would be glorified in all of this. Thank you for the way you've watched over and protected us during this pandemic, Father God. I pray that you'd continue to do so. And, Lord, I pray that you would receive all the glory and honor and praise. Father God, it is good to be in your house this morning. It is so good to be able to worship you. It is so good to be back here. Now, the church hasn't ceased to exist because we're the church. And hopefully we love people, we loved you, and we did all the things that you've called us to do, even during this quarantine. But Father God, it's good to be able to gather again and to worship you. Thank you for that. I pray, Father God, that all that's said and done in here today would bring glory and honor to you, for you are worthy. We love you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We serve a good, good God. Amen. You know, when you look at where we were at over the last 14 weeks, I'll say there was something about sitting in my living room, watching a countdown, knowing that my brothers and sisters were still in church with me. It was an encouraging time. It was encouraging to see the chats in the comments section. 10 years ago, we couldn't have done that, folks. 10 years ago, we would have been sitting at home alone on a Sunday morning trying to figure out how to worship. But the Lord allowed technology to advance before we needed it, so that it was there just in time. We serve a good God, amen. I just want us to focus on that as we continue to worship through song and Clara leads us.
Mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God.
Oh, you are so good to us. You're a great, great Father, Lord. You just look out for our best, even when we're blind to it. Lord, my heart's been so encouraged to be together today. As you know, it's been a tough week, Lord. A lot of things on my heart. A lot of hurts. Mixed with joys, and it's been a roller coaster week. But you're so faithful. And so today, Lord, for my friends, both far and near, that have joined us for worship, encourage them in the good times, lift them up in the not as good. But Lord, reward them for their faithfulness to you. And for my friends who may not have asked you into their heart, Lord, touch them today. Soften their heart. Let them know that you are real in this place, in this world. And that all we have to do is look to you and say, I'm sorry. And you will lift us up. Lord, we love you. Be with Pastor Jay as he comes and brings the word. Let it be the word you need us to hear today. Just fill him with your presence, Lord, and resound through him, through the airwaves of this great technical media, but in this place as well, Lord. Just transcend through him. Fill him with your presence that we hear the message you want us to hear today, Lord. In your holy and wondrous name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated.
Well, it is good to be together again and to see your smiling faces, like I said. But I do want to say, and maybe if you're watching at home, this may not apply, but I'm so thankful that you all showed up and not in your pajamas. So thank you for that. Appreciate that. You know, that would be one thing that I do miss about home church, and it was kind of nice to just sit in my recliner and my shorts and whatever, but it's well worth it to be able to get dressed up and come and be able to worship with you guys and be together in this place. So before I start the sermon, I just want to just take a moment, and I want to say thank you to the Tripp family and to the tech crew and everything during this whole quarantine that made it possible for us to be able to worship at home. Let's give them a round of applause. And all those that had a part hand in that, thank you so much. Also, you know, this last week and the last couple of weeks, but especially this week, there have been a lot of things going on, getting technology stuff squared away so that we could do this today. And so your board and your other people were here, spending a lot of hours getting stuff ready. So thank you to you guys making this, all you have done to make this morning possible. We really, really appreciate it. Amen. And so it's good to be together. Well, how many of you guys have ever had surgery before? Yeah, a number of us, right? Well, about a month ago, I had shoulder surgery, and it's doing pretty good. I've not quite got all the way back yet, but we're getting there. My physical therapist is pleased. So, but I just bring that up to say this morning, thank you for all those that prayed for me and sent cards and gave us meals and stuff like that. It just means so much to know that, you know, when you're down, you're not feeling good, that others are thinking about you and stuff. And so in just some impractical ways, just thank you so much for all that you did and do that. But after you have surgery, you've probably had this experience where you have to have a post-op appointment. You have to go back to the doctor, usually about a week after surgery, and then maybe a month after surgery, and maybe again after that. But you have this post-op appointment with the doctor because they just want to see how things are going, right? They just want to make sure the incision is healing well and that your pain is okay and your appetite's returning, all those kinds of things. You know, so you want to do those things. Well, this morning, I really want this to be kind of like a post-op appointment. And not that we've had an operation, but we've had a disruption in our lives. Amen? These last few months have been quite the disruption, for some more than others, perhaps, and in different ways. But all of us, all of our lives over these last few months have been absolutely disrupted. And surgery is like that. Surgery is a disruption, isn't it? Less and less so. I mean, it seems like more and more surgeries are outpatient, and you don't even spend the night in the hospital hardly anymore. But even if it's outpatient surgery, it's a disruption in your life. You have to take time off work. You got to do some physical therapy. You got to go to the appointments and all that stuff. It's a disruption. And certainly these last few months, like I said, have been a disruption for us. And so this morning, this is your post-op checkup. I just want to see How are you doing? You know, it's been 14 weeks, as I said earlier, 14 weeks since we were gathered under one roof. So I want to know, how are you doing? How are you coping with everything that's going on? Are you coming out stronger? Are you coming out weaker? Where are you at? And that's kind of really what I want us to look at this morning. But disruptions are just a part of life, aren't they? I mean, for some people, they hate that. They want their routine, right? Anybody like that here? You like your routine. You don't want anything to disrupt your routine. You know, for people like that, man, I feel really sorry. These last few months must have been miserable torture for you. But for those who are alone, you know, that live alone and stuff, that your social networks in a lot of ways were taken away. So, you know, this really has been a disruption. And disruptions can be a nasty part of life, but and a regular part of life. But I also want you to think about it in the sense that it can also be life-giving for you. Sometimes we need a disruption. If you're familiar with the whole organization of LeaderCast, they have LeaderCast seminars all over the country. And the theme this year, which was planned well before Corona, is disruptions and impactful disruptions and how to make the most of disruptions. I thought that was really kind of cool that, you know, that God had ordained that and made that possible. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on, how we can work through disruptions. And disruptions can be life-giving. It's kind of like inventions, right? They say, Plato said, necessity is the mother of invention. And what that simply means is that when put in a difficult situation, a lot of times we as humans, we come up with ingenious or new ways in handling the problem. It's not that we necessarily wanted to, we sought out, but a need arose, a disruption happened, and we had to figure out a way around it, right? And so that's what Plato said. And if you think about it, that's one of the primary driving forces of new inventions. Here's some examples. How many of you guys have ever heard of John Dunlop? Or Dunlop tires? Heard of those, right? Well, John Dunlop is the inventor of Dunlop tires. Back in 1888, he lived in London, and he bought his little boy a tricycle. Right? Every little boy wants a bicycle, tricycle, something like that. You know, be able to ride around them. Well, in London, they had cobbled streets. And so the little boy would go out riding, and every time he came back from a ride, he'd have a headache. You know, think about it, bouncing around on those cobbled streets, you know, on those hard tires. And so his dad sat down and said, well, we got to figure out something. You know, we got a tricycle. We don't want him coming home with a headache every time. And so he came up with what we call the pneumatic tire, a tire filled, a rubber inner tube filled with air that would absorb some of that shock. So, you know, that's an example of an invention that came about because of need and necessity. Or we think about Eli Whitney in 1794. He invented the cotton gin. Prior to that, he had to take the cotton and clean it by hand, and it was very laborious. You know, it took a long time. And so the cotton gin made life better. James Watt invented the steam engine, which, again, was a major advancement in civilization and convenience. And all of those are examples of a better reality following a disruption. Something happened, and they had to use their brain and be clever and come up with a new solution. Well, this has been a disruption for us. The coronavirus, COVID-19, this whole pandemic has been a disruption for us. And I want you to know that life can be better post-corona. I want you to know that. It's true. It's God's word. We can come out of this stronger, and we can come to this with a stronger faith and a stronger relationship with him. As I said, we've not met in 14 weeks. This has been a real disruption for us. I feel awful for our seniors. Will Boyce was in the first service, and Lindsey Palmer's in the second one. And by the way, I just want to say, church, kudos to you for the way you responded to our seniors. And loving them and their parades, you know, their parents came up with some creative things to do, and I think that's awesome. And you guys responded, and I just want to say thanks for that. But I feel so bad for our seniors. You know, your senior year that you've worked so hard for, Lindsay, it was totally blown up, wasn't it? I mean, the last day of school, the last time walking down the halls, right? Seeing your friends, senior skip day. I mean, that's a day you're allowed to skip, right? I mean, you know, I don't know about you. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I was kind of a rule follower in high school, and most of the time. But I didn't skip school. That's one thing I didn't do other than to play basketball. You know, there was a bunch of pastors in our area that got together on Monday mornings, and Pastor Fred was my pastor then. He'd be like, hey, ask your mom if you can skip school tomorrow, play basketball. And so that's about the only time I ever skipped school, with my mom's permission. other than senior skip day, right? And you have permission. So you missed out on that senior picnic and all those traditions that go into that. I just feel so bad for our high school seniors. They've missed out on so much. I'm really happy that our schools did what they could. I think they did a great job of with what they had to work with in providing something and doing something to recognize our seniors, and I'm thankful for that. But they really missed out. You know, our lives have been so disrupted. You know, I'm glad to see, too, and I don't see anybody. It looks like we've had enough time since the you can get a haircut, right? I was really worried about what you all would look like showing up if you hadn't had a chance to get a haircut. I know my hair was long as it'd probably been since I was like in sixth grade. I mean, it was long. Austin's was like, he had this like super poof. He's not here, so I can say that. He had like super poof on top of his head, you know. It's great. Our lives have been so disrupted. The things that we take for granted, the things that we just are used to going and doing, you know, have just totally been turned upside down. But hopefully, we are emerging out of this. That's my prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm praying that we're kind of coming post-COVID and lives will get back to normal in a good way and that we'll be able to continue those things. But this morning, the checkup part of this is what I want to check in with you, and I want to ask, how are you doing post-COVID, as we're able now to return back together? And I know it's not normal, but it's more normal than what we've been used to the last 14 weeks. How are you doing? How are you doing emotionally? You know, I had the opportunity to speak with different people during this, and some really were struggling emotionally. That really was difficult. And those emotions are natural and normal. But I was able to pray with and hopefully, you know, point them toward God. And, you know, but emotionally, this has been hard. Relationally, how's it been? You know, some of us have spent a lot more time with our family than we're used to. That can be a good thing. That can be a bad thing, right? You know, Roxanne, teaching at the middle school, she had a Zoom class every day, and she had to meet with this group, and she'd always ask them different questions, fun questions and stuff. And one day, this question she asked them was, what's been the best part? You know, just trying to get them to focus on the positive. You know, we could name all a bunch of negatives, but just trying to get them. And one girl said, well, my family has spent a lot more time together, you know, during this. We've been eating meals together. We've been playing games together. I'm thinking it's sad that it took a pandemic for that to happen, but that's a great response. That's something good that's come out of this. I also saw this comic that I really liked. It was a couple, and they're coming up to the door of this house and visiting another couple, friend of theirs. And you could kind of see the backyard and the garden. And they knock on the door, and the woman of the house, the housewife, she comes to the door and answers the door. And they're like, oh, hey, you doing? And he's like, where's John? And she says, well, the housewife says, he's out in the garden. And the guy kind of looks, and he goes, I don't see him. And she said, well, you got to dig down a few inches. You know? All right, you got it. And I spoke to a few people. I won't mention any names. But I spoke to a few people like, I love my spouse, I love my husband, I love my wife, but I'm ready to kill them, right? And maybe you can relate, you don't have to raise your hand or anything. But, you know, through this, relationally, some of us have spent a lot more time with our kids maybe than we're used to, or our spouse. You know, hopefully you've come through this stronger, your relationships are stronger, maybe tested a little bit, but stronger, you know, as you come through this. And most importantly, how are you doing spiritually? Where's your relationship with God as you emerge, as we come out of this? How are you doing spiritually? How's your faith? Are you stronger in your relationship with God? Is your devotional life stronger than it's ever been? Or maybe you're weaker. Maybe you're the same. Maybe it's like, well, it's just been the same, you know. Nothing better, nothing worse, just same old, same old. This morning, that's really what I want us to focus on. My prayer is that your relationship with God is stronger than ever. I pray that you use this disruption to really kind of focus in on your relationship with God and to commune with Him and spend time in His Word. Maybe time that you don't normally have if you've been sheltered in place or working from home. Maybe you've had extra time and you've devoted it to that. And I just want to say, if that's you, if you feel like, man, I'm in a stronger place than I've ever been, I say kudos to you and keep it up. Keep doing it. Don't allow us returning to normalcy and life kind of getting back to the old, same old pattern. Don't allow that to rob you of that intimacy you've had, you've built with God during this time. Make sure you still prioritize to spend time with Him. Make sure you still prioritize worshiping Him. Do those things that you've done that have brought you closer. continue to do those things. And it is my prayer that's all of us. But the reality is, it's probably not. Well, what if you're not in that spot? What if you're not stronger? What if your faith is not what it was? Then this morning, I just invite you to return to the basics. And what I mean by that, we find in our passage this morning, Mark chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 28 to 31. And this is a very familiar passage. It's found in the other Gospels, and it's a passage you will recognize if you've spent any time in church at all. But I really want you to think about this. If you're struggling, or maybe you're just the same, this is a great way for us to really draw close to Christ. The Word tells us that if we draw close to Him, He'll draw close to us as well. So let's read this together, starting Mark chapter 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which one's the most important?" "The most important one," Jesus answered, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Oftentimes we think of commandment one and two like this one's the best one. Jesus is saying, no, both of these. There's no commandment greater than these. Yes, we need to love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is just as important. And so how do we do that? Well, practically, what does that look like? How do we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, first thing I would encourage you to do is to remember what God has done for you. Go to that place. Maybe you have a quiet place, a place you just go and you pray, or it's a special place to you or whatever. Or maybe you don't have that place. Find that place. Find a place where you can just be alone with God. And begin to recall all the things that God has done in your life. Yeah, salvation, forgiveness, those are great and important and necessary. But it can go way beyond that. Perhaps as a child, you were healed from a disease or, you know, or something. Or maybe it was a relationship later on in life that God rescued. You know, whatever it may be, you know how the times that God has showed up, that He's been faithful to you. So recall those, recount those things. Make a note of it, literally write it down or make a mental note of it. But recall, it's so important for us to remember how good God has been to us, because He has been, amen? And then after you do that, share those. You know, recall those things that God has done for you with other people. You know, when maybe you're talking to someone, they're going through a rough time, and you can relate. You say, you know, I was there, and this is how God helped me. It doesn't have to be up, you know, in their face. It doesn't have to be this 20-point, you know, evangelistic, call to salvation or something. You know, you can just share. Say, this is what God has done in my life. I was where you were. I felt the same way. You're whatever it may be. And share that with others. So remember it yourself, but also pray for. And when God gives the opportunity to share with others, share it with others. Because, man, that's life-giving to us. You know that when we share what God has done for us, that gives us life. But it also helps other people. When they hear, man, there is hope. You know, that song we sang, Living Hope, that's real. And so when other people hear that, hey, I don't have to be, you know, I don't have to be full of despair. I don't have to be hopeless. I can be full of hope. I can have hope through Jesus Christ. I don't, you know. And through our testimony, we can help them. So remember what God's done for you and retell of His faithfulness to others. Do something for Him. You know, just not out of obligation or because you have to, but just do something for Him. I mean, you know, how often do our wives, you know, they want us to do something. Husbands, right? They want us to do something for them. Not because it's their anniversary, it's their birthday, or because we owe them. You know, it just because we want to, right? We bring them flowers. You know, or whatever, you know, and don't make the mistake I made. When I was in Gaithersburg, Maryland, I was a youth pastor there. For this, I don't know why, but for this stretch of time, we had a lot of funerals. And so there would be a lot of beautiful flowers, you know, at the funeral. And so I didn't like bring the funeral arrangement home. Okay, I have a little more taste than that. Okay, but I would take the flowers out and put them in a vase and I'd bring them home to Roxanne. And all of a sudden, she's getting a lot of flowers. And I meant it. I wasn't trying to get away with something. I was just, you know, they're going to die, so I might as well do something with them, right? And so later I found out that wasn't such a great idea, that she would appreciate it more if I just went and bought them, you know, and stuff. Lesson learned, okay, marriage counseling over. But You know, we appreciate it. Our wives, our significant others, they appreciate it when we do something special for them. Not because we have to, but just because we want to, right? We like being on the receiving of that end of that as well. And so do that for God. Just do something. Give, you know, fast something. It doesn't have to be food. It can be. Or give, you know, something. Maybe give to missions or give a special offering. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be money either. You know, give of your time. Give, do something out of the ordinary for God just because he loved him. Just out of response. Man, he's done so much for me. He's been so good to me. And so I want to respond. I want to do something for him. Not because I have to. Not because I want to. Or, I mean, because I want to. Not because I have to. But just, you know, doing that. That's another thing we can do to show God that we love him. And then the last thing I would suggest, there's other things, but these are just some suggestions for you this morning, is spend time with him. You know, I mean, as a parent, we love it when our kids come out and they want to spend time with us, right? We love it as a husband or wife or as a friend when our friends or our significant other wants to spend time with us. That means a lot to us. It means a lot to God when we choose. Because there's, you know, we all know there's no shortage of distractions in this life, right? To distract our attention away from him. But when we take the time to spend with him, we intentionally set time aside to be with him. It means the world to him. And it helps us to grow in our relationship with him. So do those things. You know, retell of his faithfulness. Recount and recall his faithfulness. Tell others when you have the opportunity and pray for those opportunities. Do something for him just because you love him. To demonstrate your love for him. And spend time with him. Those are all great ways to kind of get back to basics, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those are all ways to do that. The second part of that verse that's just as important is to love your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you, when was the last time you did something for someone who's not your family? You know, it's easy to do stuff for our family. We love our family. We want to, you know, but do something for someone outside your family just because you love them or just because you love God, and you know that they're going through, maybe they're going through a tough time. Like many of you, like when I had shoulder surgery, thank you so much. Those, are, you know, gave us meals and cinnamon rolls and all those good goodies that we got to eat. You know, just doing something that costs you something. Not necessarily money, but it costs effort and time. That means the world, especially in the busyness of this life that we live. So do something for others. Show them that you demonstrate for them your love for them. Go out of your way to do something nice for someone else. That's a great way to love your neighbor as yourself. And again, my prayer is that we, as we walk out of this disruption, and man, I pray that we are walking out of it, I pray that you are doing great spiritually. I pray that you are stronger than ever. But if not, it's not too late. I want you to know it's not too late. This crisis may be hopefully coming to an end, but man, it's not too late for you to draw close to God. If you would do those things, if you would draw close to him, the word tells us he will draw close to us. That's what he desires. That's what he wants. But my challenge for you this morning is just be honest with yourself and honest with God. Where are you at? Are you coming through stronger? Great. Awesome. Keep it up. Don't allow the distractions of this life to rob you of that. But if you're not, if you're coming through the same or weaker, man, then do something about it. You know, they say that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. If this isn't working for you, if you're not growing spiritually, then do something different. Spend time with God. Be in his word. Worship him. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pray and ask and seek those opportunities. And as you do those things, I promise you, and this is not my promise, this is God's promise, he will draw close to you, and your faith will be stronger. Your relationship with him will be stronger. You will have that intimacy that we desire with our loving Heavenly Father. So I encourage you, if you're stronger, keep it up. But if you're not, make the necessary changes. Do what it is that God has speaks to your heart to do so that you can flourish in your faith. You can be stronger and you can grow. Let's go to the Lord and pray at this time. Father God, it is good. It has been good today to be in your presence and to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. Thank you so much. This is a wonderful Father's Day gift, just to be able to be together. And Father God, I pray that you would be with each and every one of us this week and today, Father. Lord, if we're struggling, Lord, help us to take spiritual account and just get with you and do what we can to make it right and to draw close to you so that you will draw close to us as well. And Father God, I pray that you would just be with each and every one of us. Give us the strength we need this week to live for you, to love others, to love you, and to serve you the way that you would call us to. And Father God, I pray that you would just be with us. Father God, it has been so, so good to be together this morning. We want to be sure to give you the glory and praise, for you alone are worthy of our praise. And be with us now, Lord, as we depart this place, and be with us this week as we attempt and endeavor to live for you and serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.